Welcome to the Leisureman Sunday Night Podcast. Perloff and Paps here. It's Masters Day, Paul, and nobody recaps the Masters like the Leisureman.
Yeah, the Leisureman Masters wrap-up show, a tradition since early 2018. It's a lot of fun. It was pretty cool how NBC said, hey, you know, we said, let's go down to Augusta. Let's go down to the Masters. We'll do the show there. And they said, no, we'll go. All the Golf Channel people will go, you stay and be the anchor back in Stamford, Connecticut. We don't want you anywhere near Augusta, Georgia. Focus on this.
Yeah, it's a philosophy that worked well for them during the Olympics, worked during the Super Bowl. They seem to have mastered. They leave us back while they go watch cool things, and then they let us recap it on Sunday night, and we appreciate that.
Yeah, it's our niche. Everyone else gets to do the be at the site, you know, Mike Tirico and those guys, but we take care of the house.
Absolutely. I'm wearing green socks, not a green jacket. Does that count for anything?
It doesn't count for much. All right, here comes the podcast. Enjoy.
We have a new Masters champion.
Wow.
Patrick Reed. Who saw that coming? Not me, but that's what I love about it. It was actually, okay, so Tiger, he did okay. He had a nice day today,
Yeah. Finally.
But it wasn't the Tiger Woods tournament. It was Jordan Spieth making a run today, Patrick Reed being strong pretty much all tournament. Rory McIlroy had his moment. Paul, what was your impression of this Masters? Was it a fun Masters, a great Masters, a good Masters?
Well, I would say you set it up right, is that this golf season started great with Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson winning one tour event each, but setting up the Masters as basically their Super Bowl. They start with their Super Bowl. Everybody watches. Everyone was planning to watch Thursday, Friday with Tiger Woods. And then you have a leaderboard where Patrick Reed's not a household name, but Ricky Fowler sure is. Jordan Spieth sure is. Rory McIlroy is a worldwide household name. And you even got guys like Bubba Watson, Stenson, Dustin Johnson. So the leaderboard was beautiful. It was all set up except for no Tiger and Phil. And then you have this great feel-good story. Patrick Reed's a good interview. Great look. Great original look to him. But then you have Jordan Spieth, who is, you know, the heir apparent and, you know, kind of already has inherited the sport a little bit. He was right there and had one of the great days, great Sundays in Masters history.
But do you think Jordan Spieth will ever capture the casual fan like Tiger has? Or do you think anyone will ever capture the casual fan like Tiger has?
Not like right. Tiger. No, and I wouldn't say the word never, but I think we've seen it for our lifetime. Maybe in, you know, 20 years there will be a guy. But you need everything. Like Tiger Woods, you could dissect Tiger Woods and saying, he was on the Mike Douglas show when I think he was 3 or 4. So he got famous early, and so people may have remembered him. Then the name is almost underrated, Tiger Woods. It's as simple and original and compelling as it can be. It's a nickname. If he went by Eldrick Woods, I'm not saying it wouldn't be the same, but it wouldn't be the same. You know, his career would be the same, but his path to stardom would be tougher. You know, a lot of things have to go in play here. You could almost analyze this like a media critic. To be a superstar, like Jordan Spieth, Spieth is a little bit of a confusing name. First name Jordan, okay, you can make some good comparisons there, but it helps to be easily packaged. But Jordan Spieth doesn't have a great story growing up where you're like, this is unbelievable, or bringing in a whole new group of fans from different cultures, different races.
Yeah, I mean, I think you mentioned race too. The fact that Tiger Woods is African-American certainly plays into this, and because it's a sport that has had trouble attracting different kinds of people and diversity through the years. So I think that's a big part of it. Also, too, it's style play. The fact that Tiger was driving long before anyone was.
Right.
And then Tiger was so clutch on Sundays, too. Now, I don't think anyone has shown that consistently. But what if Jordan Spieth did win like 8 or 9 majors? Or let's say maybe he got to 11 and 12. Then maybe we tune into Jordan Spieth like we do. Maybe you need to build that resume for us to get that excited. You can't just be just starting it out.
I think he'd be closer to Phil Mickelson, a guy everyone knows. You know his name. He seems very likable. He has fun on the course. He doesn't seem too tense out there. He reminds me more of a young Phil Mickelson who played to the crowd and didn't lose his cool. Spieth, he seems like he's having fun out there a lot, even when he's grinding.
Yeah, but would we care about Phil if he was right-handed? Are you basically saying Jordan Spieth is a right? I think Phil is more interesting because he's lefty. I think Bubba, too. I always find left-handed athletes interesting. But, you know, I think there's a little more to Phil than just his success on the golf course. I think his personality lifts him into another stratosphere, whereas Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, Rory less so, I'm not sure that they have the personalities, and not that Tiger's personality is that bubbly, but there's something, like Patrick Reed today showed a little more personality, I think, than a Jordan Spieth.
Right, but I'll say Ricky Fowler, if he could win some of these majors, would be right there, because especially if he had won one a couple years ago when he was more up and coming, he's entrenched now. He's almost 30 years old. But Ricky Fowler reminded me of a young Andre Agassi, where he had the look, he had the clothes, he flashy. When he was young, he had the kind of flat-brimmed Puma hat, and he had the hair coming out of the back. So 5 years ago, Ricky Fowler was, to me, like a young Andre Agassi into tennis, where he had the perfect look, the orange, all the Puma stuff. No one else wore Puma. He was poised to be a media darling, and he is, but the game just hasn't gotten there. I mean, his game is there, but the results haven't been there. He hasn't put together, you know, three majors in 5 years.
Yeah, you're right. He's a guy who could, exactly, he could have sort of burst out of that pack.
No doubt.
Now, what about Jordan Spieth, though, personality-wise? Remember, we've met him. Have we met him twice now at the Pebble Beach tournament?
Well, he's, you know, fun, but he's measured. Like, he's not going to lose his cool. Like, remember the couple, what was it, last year when after a round he won and he tapped his, he gave his caddy a cup check in the groin as he's walking out of national TV? Like, he seems like a bro, but he also seems like he's sponsored by some big-time organizations, so he's not going to be too wild and crazy because he's a brand now, a marketing machine. There's tons of sponsorship and businesses based off his livelihood, so he's not going to be too crazy.
Yeah, but today is about Patrick Reed, our guy Patrick Reed. It's funny, you know, I think people are having trouble sort of putting him into the athlete box. Not that he's, as we just said before, you know, it's not that he's out of shape or anything. He looks like a big, strong guy, but he has one of those bodies that would not translate to every other sport. Where Rory McIlroy, you could see him playing something else. He's in great shape. He's kind of a little guy, but he's in great shape, and Tiger's obviously in great shape. Patrick Reed has one of those bodies only for golf.
Right. You know, I wish Letterman was still around because Patrick Reed would be a perfect Letterman guest. Can you imagine going on Letterman's show and he has the white forehead with the tan cheeks?
Yeah.
Letterman would say something. I don't know if like Jimmy Fallon and all these guys would, but like I would like to see Patrick Reed on Letterman because I'm pretty sure John Daly went on Letterman back in the day. I actually remember it. I saw it on YouTube. And it seems like that'd be the perfect home for Patrick Reed to show off his personality.
Oh, yeah. And I think he's got a great personality. And it seems like he's really surging as a golfer, too. Which, by the way, so now we have another guy to worry about in majors. We do these, with Dan Patrick's show, we do these major sort of drafts where we pick our golfers. I tell you, it gets harder every time. There's really no sense of who's going to do well. I don't know. Do you know how you did this year, Paul?
I had Jordan Spieth, and I had in our Masters draft, and I also had Dustin Johnson. They both finished in the top 10, so I'm pretty good. Ricky Fowler, though, beat out Spieth, so whoever drafted Fowler could probably win our little tournament. I don't think anyone on our show drafted Patrick Reed. I'm almost sure they didn't.
No, I don't think so. I had Jon Rahm, who did pretty well, but I had Sergio Garcia. So I knew that was easy because I knew he was out early when he put it in the drink five times. Then I had Tiger Woods. So I was willing to trade up for Tiger Woods just because I wanted to root for Tiger Woods. I fell for the Tiger Woods trap this time. I was one of the many people who really got into it. Saw him playing well in tournaments earlier in the year. Looking back on it, playing Monday morning quarterback, did I make a mistake having expectations for Tiger Woods?
No, because you know, there's a huge line of people behind you, and I'm one of them. I think we are all desirous of the best story, and we root for the best story, and we use things to ignore the fact, the reality, that Tiger Woods, even though he played pretty well, he's had about 6 good weeks of golf in the past 3 years. Why would you think he could win the Masters over, you know, Dustin Johnson, who should be in contention and absolutely was, and you know, Justin Rose and all these guys? I don't know what the odds makers were thinking. Maybe they're trying to create a buzz and get more people to bet on Tiger, because I don't know if those odds were correct. But we're all in the same boat here. We all want what we missed. It's been, you know, almost 10 years to this summer. It'll be 10 years since Tiger Woods won a major. So we miss it because it was a different era of our lives.
Absolutely. I mean, but like you said, we're not alone. Vegas had Tiger as the prohibitive favorite a couple weeks ago. Then I think Vegas and the bettors came to their senses.
Right.
And he was still 12-1. But even now, I think about 12-1 was crazy. There's no way he was right there with Jordan Spieth to win the Masters. But by the way, hit an eagle today, really showed signs. I actually came away encouraged from this Masters because he was never grabbing his back, at least that I saw. And mentally, he seemed to be all there. I saw a post-match interview where he said it was great to be here. He said he's going to shut it down for a little while, but not because he's hurting. He just thinks he needs to rest, get back in the gym, work on the back. So I'm hopeful that, you know, that maybe this is the year where he really is in contention again in a major.
All right, Andrew, right now, let's say our producer says there's three people on the line. Which one are we going to interview? If Tiger Woods, Jordan Spieth, and Patrick Reed are all on hold, who would you want to interview the next segment? None of them are going to be, I guarantee it, but if they were.
I guess Tiger is the easy answer.
Right.
But, you know, I'd like to get to know Patrick Reed, nicknamed Captain America. I think there's a lot there to learn. But, and I do not think Tiger is a good interview. You actually sat down with Tiger once. I have this picture of Tiger with some hair and you doing some sort of Q&A with him. What was he like?
Well, this was a long time ago. I think this is probably 2006. I was working for ESPN, ESPN Classic, doing some stuff. And I used to write a little bit for small little pieces for ESPN Magazine. And Tiger Woods was promoting his new video game. Remember Tiger Woods, EA Sports video game, the golf thing?
Sure.
And so he was at New York promoting it. And I did all the video game reviews. Believe it or not, I don't know how I got this job. I did all the video game reviews for ESPN.com and ESPN the magazine. There weren't that many, but... So I emailed EA Sports and said, can I get 5 minutes with Tiger when he's in town to talk about his new game? They were trying to promote it. I said, it's for ESPN, the magazine. They're like, oh, that's good. And they called me, I think, day before or maybe morning of, and they said, he's going to be on Fox and Friends or some type of Fox show, morning show in Midtown. If you can get there, we'll give you whatever time he's got in the green room before he goes on. But once he goes on, he's gone, and you're not going to get – he goes, you may have 1 minute or 10 minutes with him. We don't know. So here's how it went, Perloff. I got a cab up there, walked in, sat there, and she got there before him and his people. So they said he's going to come in, get makeup on, and then go right on to Fox and Friends or whatever show it was. And I was like, oh man, he's going to walk in, get made up, and go right on, and I'm not going to get 1 minute with this guy. And I sat there for about 2 minutes. I had my little dopey questions ready. I had like six video game questions. And he walks in with an entourage, probably six people, publicist, agent. There may have even been a security person with him. He walks in, his agent whispers in his ear who I am and what I'm doing, and he goes, hey, how's it going, man? And he puts his hand out, big smile, looked me right in the eyes, and this was when he's at his peak of fame. And I go, hey, good to meet you, man. I introduce myself. And his runner, his publicist, I don't know who it was, walks in with a bunch of coffees and a bunch of muffins because they hadn't eaten yet. And so he takes a coffee. Everyone's grabbing coffee while I'm sitting down with my questions. He goes, hey, man, you want a coffee? I'm like, oh, no, no. He goes, want a muffin or something? I go, no, but thanks. He goes, oh, get him a coffee. But he was really nice and like disarming and fun. And then I started asking him questions and he was really engaged in it because I tried to ask some original questions. I don't recall what I asked. And then at the end, I said, which do you think is uglier? And I mentioned something that happened in golf recently or Charles Barkley's golf swing. And he starts laughing and cracking up. And it was really fun. And, you know, it was a pretty, you know, light interview because it was about video games. But then if you remember about the picture, Perloff, and you remember this, he had tiger striped hair. He had kind of like this orangish yellow stripes in his hair. It was like black, orange, black, orange, black, orange. And I was pretty shocked by this because when I saw him play golf 2 days earlier, I think at Bethpage in the U.S. Open, his hair was black. And so I go, hey, before I let you go, on or off the record, what's going on with the hair? And he goes, and he looked at me and we had a good conversation so far. And he goes, my girlfriend and I decided to stay up late in the hotel. Got some room service, got some drinks, some more drinks. And next thing you know, she talks me into dyeing my hair tiger striped colors. I woke up this morning and couldn't believe I did it, and I did it. And right after this, you and I stopped talking. He goes, I'm going into the bathroom. I'm going to dye it out before I go on to Fox and Friends because I don't want to go on TV with it. And so I had his publicist take my dopey little pocket camera and take a picture of us. So I don't know if this is the only picture of Tiger with the tiger striped hair, but this is one of few.
Yeah, it was not a great look, but you look good, Paul. You look a lot younger.
Not bad.
All right, we're going to talk a little NBA next. It's been an hour and 15 minutes. I have not bragged about the 76ers, my team, yet. Paul, I'm going to do it strong in the next segment. We're the Leisure Men on NBC Sports Radio.
Every Sunday night, the hottest time slot in all of sports radio, Perloff, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. We got it locked down like nobody's business.
Yeah, nobody wants a part of us. That's why the big names go primetime during the week. But right. No, Sunday night's where it's happening. I love that NBC tags us to do the big events. Tonight, the Masters recap show. Yeah. Of course, we expected something like this. I mean, every week, Paul.
Is this show simulcast, our Masters recap show on NBC Sports Radio? Is it simulcast on Golf Channel? Because that's NBC as well. I don't see any cameras in here. Probably. I would assume it's simulcast.
I don't know. My buddy with the Golf Channel, Damon Hack, doesn't seem to be anywhere near me. So, no, I don't think we're on the Golf Channel. I don't think we'll ever be on the Golf Channel.
I don't say
that's
ever,
okay.
But I don't see Rex Hogarth here. I don't see any of the guys here. I would love to be, I'd love to have a nice sweater vest. By the way, I think I would love to be a golfer mostly for the clothes and secondarily for the competition and the sport itself. Fair?
I don't know. Like, what kind of clothes do you like? Do you like that three-quarter zippy that a lot of people wear? I'm not a huge three-quarter zippy guy.
Nah, I would, though, if I was a golfer. I'm more of a, I like a crisp V-neck sweater with a shirt underneath. That'd be nice. Anything plaid or tweed or argyle is all me. I love clubhouses. And golf clubhouses I like way more than golf courses.
Oh, yeah, they're great. Nice steak sandwich. Now, I love Rory, by the way, earlier in the tournament, was wearing a long sleeve white undershirt with a sort of turquoise shirt over it, turquoise Nike shirt over it. That look, you know, not everybody can pull that off. I don't think you ever really go that look, but I like that look.
Yeah, and you got to be pretty trim these days for some of the slacks they're wearing. Those guys, and you notice the way they bend over to pick up their ball out of the cup? They do that kind of one-legged leg up in the air move. They don't bend kind of like squat down. You know, I don't know if I have the balance or, you know, my core is not as tight as Rory McIlroy's.
Yeah, and you really don't want to split your pants. What was that college coach? Was that Ed Cooley of Providence who split his pants during the NCAA tournament? You really don't want to do that on national TV. Although, I have to tell you, I have showed enough butt crack to really fill a silo in my years of the Dan Patrick Show.
You sure have. There's a lot of cracked B-roll. All right, let's get into the NBA playoffs just a couple days away. Teams either have one, two, or three games left to go. There's still a little bit in question in the West. We'll talk about that for a second. New Orleans Pelicans, San Antonio Spurs, Oklahoma City Thunder, Minnesota Timberwolves, and Denver Nuggets. Four of those five teams are going to make the playoffs. They're all within percentage points of each other. Denver right now is on the outside looking in. Are any of those teams, Perloff, in your mind, a threat? I don't mean big threat, but little threat.
Well, let's talk about just threat to win a series. In my opinion, yes. I think Oklahoma City is going to be a pain. I know they've been a mess. So I jumped all over them a few weeks ago, and then they got inconsistent again. The same things that we've known from the beginning of the year. Carmelo may not fit in exactly, but Paul George and Russell Westbrook is going to be a tough out. So I think that's one team you don't want to play. San Antonio's not great this year. No, Kawhi's not there, but they're going to be a pain in the neck for someone because they always are. And then Utah, because Rudy Gobert is a defensive machine, the center. Right. So I think all those teams are kind of dangerous, but none of them are going to knock off Houston or Golden State.
But you know what? I'm going to go humid take on you here. I think the Jazz go seven games, and I'm not going to call it to win it. I'm kind of on the fence there, but I watched the Jazz play last week, and I didn't realize how physical and tough they were.
Oh, yeah.
And so if the Jazz go against the Rockets, I think they have a great chance to win this series. Not a good chance, but a great chance. And I know that's couching it very soft, and I'm not saying they're going to do it. Because, you know, the Rockets are still way deeper on the offensive positions. But I saw the Jazz. I was really impressed.
Oh, I love the Jazz. And by the way, I've seen arguments that Gobert in the second half of the season made an MVP case because he's such a defensive impact player. Now, Donovan Mitchell, that is an... Let's get into it now. Ben Simmons versus Donovan Mitchell, rookie of the year debate. That gets heated. You don't want to go on Twitter. You know, I'm part of Philadelphia 76ers Nation, so we're all about Ben Simmons. Donovan Mitchell is right there. He is a special player, the rookie out of Louisville. He's going to get a star turn here.
And not just because of the rookie thing, but I think Donovan Mitchell is harder to deal with, his all-purpose game. You know, as Ben Simmons is great, and he's just dominating as far as, you know, passing, a little bit of defense. But his lack of outside shot means that he still isn't a killer yet.
Yeah, something's changed, Paul. Since Embiid went out, he's come back. Dude, he is right there. So Friday night, the Sixers play the Cavs with the number 3-4 seed online. Ben Simmons took over the game. He was right there with LeBron. He's a basketball genius, just like LeBron. I know that sounds weird. He sees the floor just like LeBron. He dominates a game without shooting a jump shot. It's weird. And I know what you're saying, Donovan Mitchell is more probably pro-ready. Ben Simmons, first of all, he's a steals machine. He's a passing machine. He's a rebounding machine. His offense is just getting better. I think it's going to be hard to keep it away from Simmons because he's unbelievable, Paul. He does everything.
All right, let's get into the East a little bit. Raptors, Celtics, Sixers now with 14 straight wins are up to the 3 seed. Now, Perloff, what level of geeked are you for the playoffs with your Philadelphia 76ers?
So a lot depends on Embiid. The funny thing is they've played better since Embiid got hurt. Simmons has taken over, but I think that they have a road, if they stay at number 3, to go to the conference finals, Paul. I'm Andrew Perloff. He is Paul Papps. And I am giddy, Paul, about my Philadelphia 76ers beat the Cavs in the most exciting game in Philadelphia since Allen Iverson wore a Sixers uniform. He was in the house that night. They beat the Cavs 132-130. They blew a huge lead. LeBron just stormed back, and you saw their lack of experience. But the thing I know, I mean, you can't, if you watch it, since Embiid went down, to an injury, a facial injury. Ben Simmons has taken over, and you cannot help but be impressed. He had 27 points, 15 boards, and 13 assists. He sees the floor exactly like LeBron. He's bigger, stronger, faster than everybody. I'm going to say this, Paul. This is my hot question. In an open draft of all NBA players, I'm not sure there's very many people who are going to take over Ben Simmons.
Ooh, over Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons probably 20. He's under 24. He's probably
I think he's 21.
Right?
21 or 22.
Greek Freak, Giannis Antetokounmbo is in there.
Now, ben the Simmons. Greek Freak is already showing some knee problems. I'm just going to tell you that right now, that the Greek Freak and Anthony Davis have health issues.
Yep.
Now, so did Ben Simmons, by the way. But
he hasn't had in a while. Ben Simmons is on a nice, healthy streak. I'll tell you, though, and I'm being serious about this one. If Joel Embiid, if I knew he was going to be healthy, I'd take him over Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons is still 21, doesn't turn 22 until July. I would take Simmons because he's a guard. I mean, that's basically what this debate is about. At the end of the day, guards are going to win in this league, like LeBron, like Steph Curry. And to some extent, Kevin Durant plays guard. You know, Embiid is still a center at the end of the day. And I think centers have not won NBA titles in so long. I feel like Simmons' style is going to be the key to unlocking a championship.
He is, but if he doesn't have a three-point shot, he has to dominate without being dominant as a scorer. You know, he's going to get 22 points a game. I don't think he's going to be a 28-point-a-game guy. I know he may be the past couple weeks, he's picking up the slack, but when everyone's healthy, I don't think he's going to average over 25 points a game, which maybe he doesn't need to dominate because he has such great passing vision. The thing that is about him that stands out about Simmons is he's a disaster matchup because he is playing basically the point forward position, but he's huge and he's not skinny at all. He's a big, thick guy for age 21. He's a disaster for people like 12 feet in. He's impossible matchup.
Yeah, and he's quick. He's got moves. Also, he's incredible on defense, which no one would ever expect about him. But yeah, maybe I'm just a little overexcited. The other thing about the Sixers, J.J. Redick is shooting the lights out, Paul. It's like Duke sophomore year.
Your boy.
So I think the Sixers have a shot. Now, you were saying in the last segment that you see some possible roadblocks.
Well, if they end up against the Indiana Pacers in round one, the Pacers aren't getting a lot of media coverage, but they're a decent team. And, you know, they still got some young guys like Oladipo, but they got a few older guys who've been around the block before. I worry that maybe the Sixers have had a great run, and then when it slows down in those, you know, short possession games, slow possession games in the playoffs, they could be bounced in round one.
Yeah, I actually am funny you mentioned the Pacers. I'm more worried about the Heat, the number six seed,
really?
Because they have a lot of experience, and they're playing really well sort of the second half of the season. You know, they obviously Dwayne Wade, they're the old man of the NBA playoffs. So that's tricky, but I want the three seed for the Sixers because I think the Kyrie Irving-less Celtics are a much better matchup in the second round than the Raptors. And it could be a Raptors-Cavs matchup in the second round. That's going to be wild.
All right, you want a little humid take from me? Kyrie Irving being out of the playoffs is a negative, but they probably weren't going to the finals anyway. But the positive is that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, two guys under 23 years old, are going to get a lot of big playoff minutes. They'll be the focal point of that team. And they may only play 5, 6, 7 games in this playoff, under 10 games. But I think that the Celtics are really set up for next year. I don't think I know we don't like to talk about the Toronto Raptors because they're not interesting. And I know they're good, but they're not interesting. They're probably going to be the same team next year, and they could be beat. I think the Celtics are setting up really well for next year.
Okay, that's really, yeah, of course. I mean, Gordon Hayward will be back. Kyrie will be back.
Yeah, it's not a hot take, but I think there's a long-term benefit of Kyrie Irving being out.
Yeah, you're right. This was not the year. That makes sense in the big picture. I totally agree. But that being said, I got to tell you, Paul, I'm nervous about Kyrie Irving ever really putting it together for 82 games and then a playoff run. And Gordon Hayward's coming off an injury. I see the East, you know, how can you not put the Sixers in that mix? They just won their 50th game today, and they are younger than everyone. Celtics are pretty young, too, but they don't have Embiid, Simmons, and guess who's playing really well? Markelle Fultz. In fact, he's going to be really good. I hate to say it because I've been a huge basher of him.
You gave up on Fultz. You completely
distanced
yourself.
He's so smooth, and he's so explosive. If he learns a game, I had no idea. The Sixers have gone on this win streak without Embiid, and it's just a different team. So, and also, what about the Cavs? Have you just forgot about them, Paul?
Well, I think they're an assumed thing. Because to me, the Cavs, you know, it'd be nice to have Kyrie Irving at full strength. It'd be nice to have Isaiah Thomas at full strength. But it's all a bunch of window dressing. It's just whatever LeBron does. And if he could find a way to overcome the team he's facing that seven games, I really don't think anything else matters with the Cavaliers. They've got a bunch of B players. Maybe B, I'd say they got about like seven B-minus players. Mm-hmm. They really don't have anyone close to an A on that team. Kevin Love is not an A anymore, A player. And I think it's going to be like, hey, LeBron, you're in the best shape of your life. You're playing better. You're smarter. Can you find a way to pull it out of your you-know-what one more time? Or they lose. That's it. Know what? I don't think there's a second player on the Cavs that's going to take over and make some difference. You know, even back when they had like Iman Shumpert and second-tier guys like this, they would have a nice game or two in a playoff game, but they never had four in a row.
But they need one game. They need Kevin Love to have one or two games. They needed that big Kyrie game. I watched on Friday night in that game I mentioned against the Sixers, LeBron was perfect. I mean, he was beyond perfect. He was unstoppable. And they just had too many defensive flaws, and they needed somebody else to step up because eventually LeBron can't score 100 points a game, Paul. I disagree with that a little bit. But that being said, I still pick him in the East. I mean, if I put a gun to your head right now. Yeah.
Here's a little stat for you. I had to give this for you. Ben Simmons, the big man for point forward for the Philadelphia 76ers, he's played 78 games this year. Markelle Fultz has only played 11 games this year. Combined, they have hit no three-pointers this season. Not one.
Yeah, they're going against the grain. But, you know, the Sixers have a lot of guys who could hit three-pointers. So Simmons cuts into the lane, and then all of a sudden there's an angle for all these. They have all these foreign guys now. They're playing Spurs basketball. That's the other thing about the Sixers. They're completely selfless. Everybody passes a ball. And you know how I like that. They look a little Warriors-like. Except, I know, it doesn't make sense. Simmons can't shoot a three, Paul, but I absolutely love his game.
Anymore. I think he's tried like 11 on the season.
And they're all like the end of a quarter.
Yeah, and Markelle Fultz in 11 games has attempted one three-pointer. He's not even flirting with it. All right, let me ask you a question. If you had to say, was there one story this NBA season, or is there multiple? It started out as Giannis Antetokounmpo first 2 weeks. He was the hot property. Is this a mishmash season? Is it James Harden? Is it LeBron James? Is there one story that stands out if you had to describe this season for someone who was on a desert island? That's a great thing.
Yeah. I think James Harden, you can't leave James Harden out of the season, the story. They got Chris Paul there, so they're legit. I think the fact that the Cavs and the Warriors sort of took a step back in the regular season, I don't think it means anything for the playoffs. I don't think they're the story. I think the Greek Freaks, you're exactly right, started out hot, but that coaching situation was such a mess. I think it's Harden. I think that's a 1A. Do you have a different answer?
I do. I think it's LeBron back again because I think he's doing things. I think he's improving his game, being even more efficient. And at this age, with so many, not so much age, but mileage of games, amount of games he's played. He's played many more games. He's played over 100 games more than Michael Jordan did his entire career. Jordan retired at 39. He missed a few seasons. LeBron's 5.5 years younger than Jordan, has played 100 more games than him. And so that's a ton of mileage. He doesn't seem to wearing down in any way. He's actually playing more basketball, more games, more minutes than he has. To me, he almost reminds me of a guy who, and I really believe this is going to happen. I've said it before to you. He's going to go that Tom Brady route and use himself as an experiment of how perfect conditioning can make an athlete play dominance at 40. Now, 40 in basketball is like, to me, 35. I'm sorry, 40 in the NFL at quarterback is like 35 for an NBA player because, you know, quarterbacks, they run about five steps here and there. They don't do what an NBA player has to do. So if LeBron's doing this at 37, it's like Brady doing it at 41.
I agree. It's amazing. But I don't love that he's getting so many stats this year. To me, it also speaks to the weakness of the team around him.
Yes.
Now, I know there was a trade, but I think the team being 15% down makes a big impact. I think that's why LeBron's numbers have gone up a little bit. I think his confidence has gone up a little bit, too, because he knows he has to do it all. So I'm going against the grain here. I'm not as high on LeBron having these crazy numbers, especially lately. It's amazing the durability, Paul, and I know you're all about durability. You like guys who are actually on the court, unlike me. But he has to do it all, Paul. If he didn't win the title, are we going to remember LeBron's season, or is he going to be Jordan Spieth today at the Masters? If he doesn't win, does it matter?
I think it will to purists. I know we got a break, but I think I really... You know, I still think what he does from year to year will never be credited until he's done. I don't know if that's fair because of this social media negative hot take era. I think true sports fans who don't live their lives on negative Twitterville respect that he is actually probably getting better and not declining in any way. All right, coming up next, I have three football questions for you. Actually, check that. Four for you, Perloff. Are you ready for them?
I'm always ready for three or four football questions.
That's our new segment, three or four football questions in a Leisureman.
All right, I've said enough about the Sixers. It's time to move on to the NFL. Paul, I understand you have some good NFL questions.
All right, this is a two-parter. Why are the Giants trading Odell Beckham if they do? And do you think it's a foregone conclusion that he starts the 2018 season on a different team? Andrew Perloff.
Oh, no. I think some of the Odell talk might be a little overstated, which means it'll probably be traded any day now. But I don't see people offering huge value for Odell. We heard some crazy, like, first, I heard the Browns trading the number 4 overall pick for Odell Beckham. So the I have no idea what scenario that would be. But what are you, crazy? A wide receiver is just not worth that kind of capital. And I don't think teams are going to go all in on an injured wide receiver with attitude problems. I think he's a spectacular player. But I think some of the trade, actually what we've seen as trade rumors, seem way overvaluing him. What do you think?
Well, I'm curious what the Giants' philosophy is. Their philosophy, we don't want to pay this guy ever and we want to get rid of him. We'll ask for the moon and take like a JV version of the moon, and we'll take that good trade and, you know, get some players around Eli Manning for a couple more years? Or are they going to go the opposite direction and go with the quarterback? Because I think a lot of people have bailed on the Giants are going to take the heir apparent to Eli Manning and think that they're going to trade out of their two spot.
Well, think about this. What if you took Saquon Barkley, the running back out of Penn State, then you had Evan Ingram at tight end, Odell Beckham if he's at full strength, and Sterling Shepard and Eli Manning at quarterback? All of a sudden, that's enough offense. I mean, they have some defensive problems too. Are you scared of the Giants if that's what they do?
No, because I think teams go the other way. I'd rather have a good offensive line and get that running back elsewhere, and they don't have a good offensive line. I know they spent a lot of money on Nate Solder, but he's only one player. He can't play multiple positions at the same time, and they do have a subpar offensive line. And, you know, I'd rather them trade down two spots and take Quentin Nelson, the sure thing guard out of Notre Dame, and then get another wide receiver and trade Odell. I could see that.
Yeah, no, I love Quentin Nelson. I think that's exactly what they need too. So either way, I'm not sure what team wants him. Like, why would you give up a lot to get Odell? Who, you know, I've heard the Rams, for example, who've been trading like crazy. I don't know. I just don't see teams breaking the bank for a wide receiver.
Next question, three or four questions on the NFL to Andrew Perloff. Will the first hour of the 2018 draft be as great as any hour of draft coverage ever because of so many skill positions in the mix?
Oh, it's going to be such a good draft. And now, I honestly don't know if these quarterbacks are so good. I just think it's a matter of supply and demand. I think teams want quarterbacks. I also think people have seen the last several quarterbacks hit. They saw Goff hit. They saw Wentz hit. They saw Jameis Winston and Mariota hit. So everyone thinks all of a sudden, if I take a guy in the top three, he's going to be great. Blake Bortles even won a playoff game. I mean, so I think there's a lot of confidence in high picks. So this is a year. This is going to be the correction year. There's going to be a Jake Locker, Christian Ponder pick. Yes. And I think there's going to be some guys who bust. But right now, it's going to be a great top 10.
All right, side question on this. I saw a mock draft today where Baker Mayfield goes 3 to the New York Jets. Does it matter where Baker Mayfield goes for off-the-field personality issues?
You know, we saw him at Super Bowl week. I saw him around a few times around media at a party. He looked pretty composed to me. Now, one of the places he loses his mind, I know he got in trouble with the cops, but that every college kid does that. He loses his mind on the field, but not necessarily in the most destructive way. I honestly don't think that will be a huge problem. I don't think there's any comparison to Johnny Manziel. I think him being fiery and maybe inappropriate is a problem, but I wouldn't worry about the Jets. Also, the Jets play way out in Jersey, and I think he could be fine. I don't think he'll be corrupted by New York City. What do you think?
I think he'll be living right near you in Brooklyn, even if he's playing for the New York Jets out in New Jersey. I guarantee he'll have a loft near you in Brooklyn. Third question. I got this from a couple people on Twitter. Why do you guys cover Johnny Manziel so much? I have my answer, but I want to hear yours.
Well, he won the Heisman. The Heisman guys always get more attention. That's one reason. And he's been a train wreck off the field. It's interesting. What's your
answer? I think it's like that thing where we find wasted talent fascinating. You go back to like the Marcus Dupree documentary and other athletes like that, Chris Herron, the basketball player from Boston College and Fresno State. You always wonder, if they ever got it together, can you imagine what we could have seen? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people look at Johnny Manziel and say, you know what? I know he's got problems. I know he could be a pain and cocky and troublemaker or whatever you want to say about him. But now when you start hearing about bipolar issues maybe and drug issues or substance abuse issues, you may have a little softer heart about him. And he's still a young man. I personally would love to see him become a full-time good NFL quarterback. And I don't know why. Maybe it's about me just to be entertained by him again because he was so entertaining in college.
Yeah, that's the other thing. He was a bigger star. I mean, also Bo Jackson fits into that category to me,
yes.
too, a guy who never really delivered. But he was also so fun in college, too. I think he's extra special. Hey, dude threw a touchdown in the Spring League, Paul. The comeback is on. So I think he had a good weekend. I'm hearing more and more CFL will be next for him. I think it could happen. If I made you bet right now, is Johnny Manziel ever play in the NFL again?
Ever? I would have thought no 2 months ago. But if he can control his social media and control his, he has no wiggle room for getting in trouble, I don't think.
Zero. It'd be great if he could develop personally, I think he has a good shot.
NBC Sports Radio, Weirdo Leisureman, Paul Pabst, Andrew Perloff, we'd have a fun night, Pearl. Patrick Reed won the Masters, great story. Jordan Spieth made a hell of a run going 8-under. He needed 2 more strokes. And what's going to bother Jordan and Spieth is that he had an eagle putt earlier and he wasn't able to pull it off. And then on the 18th hole, he put his first shot, skimmed some trees, and he ended up getting a bogey on the 18th. He needed more than just a par on that hole, turns out, but it would have been a lot more interesting if he had that one-stroke buffer, and then Patrick Reed had to make a couple putts looking at Jordan Spieth waiting in the clubhouse.
Man, Jordan Spieth seems to be there a lot. I know he's not winning all these majors, but you know, it seems like even more so, he's kind of in that lump of Rory McIlroy and maybe Justin Thomas and Dustin Johnson. He seems just more consistent than those guys.
All right, it's time for Leisureman approved, not approved. I'm going to go first. Now, the Masters is one of the events of the year. People who like golf and even don't like golf make plans to watch. It's the U.S. Open and the Masters is considered the premier golf event in our country. That said, I would much rather win the Open Championship, also known as the British Open Championship, than the Masters. Approved or not approved, Perloff?
Not approved because I love my country to start with, of course. I would rather win the Masters. I know it's not the U.S. Open, but it is the premier American tournament. I don't even know where you're going here. What do you got?
The golf wasn't invented in America. Golf is a European sport originally. You know, Ireland, Scotland, places like that. I think that the home of golf is places like St. Andrews and Carnoustie. And I think the British Open or the Open Championship means you're the world champion. The Masters is this great American golf event that a lot of people, I'm sure, all over the world want to win. But I'll take the British Open, the Open Championship any day.
Wait. So Dr. James Naismith was from Canada. Does that mean that you'd rather win the Canadian Basketball League than the NBA?
I wasn't going to bring it up, but yeah, I would love to win the Canadian Basketball League Championship of Canada. And I don't know how that's the title of it, but yeah, no, of course not. But you know, Jim Naismith, I don't know where he's from. He's probably Thunder Bay or something, but you know, I'm glad he brought it down here.
You know, there are a lot of good, the Canadian national team is going to be really good. I think Chris Mannix told us that. They're going to have Tristan Thompson, Andrew Wiggins, a bunch of players are from Canada, from Toronto. So watch out for Canada. All right, I'll go. Leisureman approved, not approved. Tiger Woods had a successful tournament. He ended up at +1. He was -3 today. This was a good Masters for Tiger Woods. Approved, not approved.
Not approved. Good would be a little, it was a serviceable Masters for Tiger mm-hmm. Woods. He did nothing to really help himself or hurt himself. You can't say Tiger is back because he finished fourth or better. And you can't say, well, we overhyped that because he, you know what, the bed, because he did neither. He played nice golf for 4 days, was never really in contention, but never did anything to embarrass himself. And the next tournament, he's going to be a top 20 favorite.
Isn't it amazing, though? The guy hasn't played in a major since 2015. He's only played in a few tournaments. If he gets sharp, do you see another major in his future?
If I was betting money, no. I would bet a good amount of money that he does not win another major, and not so much because of him, but by the structure of golf and that there's basically 100 dudes trying to get each one. And even like Jordan Spieth is lucky to get one a year, and he's way better than Tiger Woods week to week. Rory McIlroy is lucky to get one a year. If you could get one major a year during your 15-year prime, you're the greatest golfer of all time. You're top three all time. So if you got one every 3 years, let's say you start golf at 22 and play until 40, and you were pretty good the entire time, and you got one every 3 years, you'd have like, let me do the math there, like six. I mean, that would be unbelievable. I mean, most guys don't even get close to six.
Yeah, it's which makes Tiger's early century dominance even more incredible when you think about it.
All right, Leishman approved, not approved. The Sixers are a bit of the darling in the NBA right now. Joel Embiid's very entertaining. Ben Simmons is really getting his due. After all these years of waiting, they're kind of they've shown up, and we'll see what they do in the playoffs. That said, the Sixers are now an attractive option for LeBron James, and if LeBron James joins the team, they'll be the most popular team in all of sports next season. Approved, not approved.
I semi-approve. They will be the most popular team in all of sports if LeBron goes there. But I got to be honest, like the Ben Simmons, it's a real issue. Like they're very similar. And what is LeBron, what are they going to do? How are both guys going to have the ball in their hand and distribute the ball? I don't quite see how that's going to work. So I'm not sure I can get over that. So I honestly, and I think LeBron's more likely to stay in Cleveland than go to Philadelphia because I'm not sure that that's the right puzzle piece. What do you think?
I agree. It seems weird. It's like, hey, I need to find him one more title. I got to join these young guys to help me out. I think it's a bad image. I think he'd be better off losing in the finals with the Cavs than winning with the Sixers, believe it or not.
I agree, totally. It would look like a front-runner move. Now, yeah. Miami was a little bit of that, but this is even more stark. I mean, the worst would be if he joined Golden State. I know he's not going to do that,
but I don't
think the Sixers, they're not Golden State anyway.
And it's a good point because, Kevin Durant is never going to recover from going to Golden State. I know that sounds weird, but he's never going to be considered an all-time top 10 NBA player, and there's not much he can do about it. Even though he is a top 30 player of all time, he's never going to crack that top 10 because how he had to get his title was convenient and was not a tough path. And historians and hardcore basketball people won't let him forget it. That's a good take.
Okay, I'm not 1,000% sure. But somehow he rocketed to the number two player in the league. Remember that commercial they ran right around the All-Star game? So he did get to the number two player right with LeBron, and I've even heard he's better than LeBron, which is weird because I'm not sure he's the best player on the Warriors, which we've seen since Curry got hurt. So Kevin Durant's pretty well thought of right now. He sort of had I know some people have problems with his social media, but he's up there on the list, Paul.
But when you're in an ensemble, you can never become an all-time great. It almost reminds me of maybe the Pittsburgh Steelers of the 70s. They have, like 9 Hall of Famers, but do they have anyone who's a top 3 player of all time in any position? Jack Lambert was great. You know, Stallworth, Frank
Harris. Mel Blunt was up there.
But they were in an ensemble. And now the Golden State's a little more than that. They've got 3 A players, maybe 4 A players, and 2 A pluses, I should say.
2 A pluses, yeah. I think that the two guys are ahead of everyone else.
But Steph Curry's career has been cooled off because of a little bit perception-wise because of Durant's addition.
100%. His numbers have gone down. I mean, he was the best offensive player in the NBA, no doubt. And now people have completely forgotten about him. It's kind of weird how much he's fallen off.
All right, that was a hot basketball talk there. All right, Perloff, that was the Leisureman podcast of the Sunday Night Radio Show. We knocked it out. A lot of golf. A lot of NBA with your Sixers. I think you're a little delusional. We'll talk about that again later.
Yeah. Have I gone too far with the Sixers, Paul? I feel like I regret some of my statements tonight.
No, I think it's a smart move by you because if they somehow end up in the Eastern Conference Finals, you could say, yep, I called it, even though you were delusional whilst doing so.
All right. I'll take that.
I'll take that too. All right. We'll talk to you next week in the Midweek Podcast. Don't forget Art19 and Apple Podcasts to download, subscribe, review, and every Sunday night, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, the live Leisureman Extravaganza on NBC Sports Radio.